So I'm going to tell you a story about when this little peanut was still inside of my body. So I'm 41 weeks pregnant. And if you've never been pregnant, or you don't know people who have been pregnant, it's a long time. I'm huge. My feet are dinghies. I can't poop, or I poop too much. I can't take a full breath because the baby is pushing up on my lungs. I want this baby to come now. I flip-flop between total zen and complete frazzledness. It's Saturday. It's the end of March in Ontario, and winter hasn't fully let go of us quite yet. It's a drizzly day, the kind of cold that gets into your bones. The weather feels epic, like the setting to an emotionally poignant scene in a dramatic film. So we decide to go for a hike. A hike for me in this stage of pregnancy is a slow, steady, meditative walk, plodding along in the only pair of shoes that still fit. My maternity jacket is like a large black barbecue cover. The kind you're oh so happy to rip off your grill come springtime so you can sit on the deck and cook burgers with friends. The rhythm of walking outside helps me clear my head. Drops of anxiety fall off of me, absorbed by the thawing dirt on the trail. The woods are a generous therapist, an open listener with seemingly endless capacity to hold my waves of emotions. At this point in pregnancy, I am walking in this liminal zone, this in-between place between life and death, this borderland that is both weightless and so very heavy. Reconnecting spiritually to the earth through the physical practice of walking is what allows me to let go of my final fears, let go of my expectations, let go of my anger, and just be. And of course, it is after this walk, after getting home and shedding my drenched barbecue cover, that my water finally breaks. And 30 hours later, which is also a long time, Lachlan is brought earthside. As a family, we've been meditating on the meaning of earth for this Earth Day service. Is earth the place where we grow our food? Is earth the place where we build our homes? Sure, those things are true, but our Mother Earth isn't just the one who gives us things. She's also valuable just because she exists, and she is beautiful. None of us are valuable. Only if and when we are productive. We are also valuable just because we are. I love the earth a lot. That's why I'm crying. In the last 2 years, we have been inspired to connect more deeply in a spiritual way to the earth. Being outside, I dropped a bud, is what brought on labor. It's what calmed our screaming newborn. It's how we spend quality time as a family. Growing food is important to us. Supporting local organic agriculture is very important to us. But it is that spiritual connection to land that is really what drives all the other action-based ways of honoring our mother. Probably most of you know that on March 15th, students across the whole world held a walkout to call for action on climate change. Greta Thunberg, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, she's from Sweden. She's a young person. I think she's about 16 years old. She's the one who set the date of March 15th. She's well known for many things, including a very passionate speech she gave at a United Nations climate change summit in December of 2018. Students here in Victoria gathered at the legislature to strike. It's estimated 1.4 million students around the world participated in this global action. That's pretty cool. Greta has said, "I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day." This fire in her belly, this passionate love for our mother, is what fuels her action and moves her to inspire others. So we invite you to consider, what is the state of your emotional relationship with your mother, with your original mother, your Mother Earth? What next milestone are you preparing for? What big emotions are you living with these days? Lean into the earth. Let your original mother hold you and rock you and wipe your tears and listen to your stories and feed you good medicine. To finish our meditation on earth, we're going to lead you in a song that we love to sing as a family. When we used to live in Ontario, we went to a program for parents and caregivers of little ones, and it was held outside, and the only time they didn't hold the group was when it was below minus 25. These folks were hardcore. And one of the songs that we would sing after we had lit the fire and gathered around was this one. So first, I'm going to sing it through. It's very short. And then Beck and Lachlan are going to help all of us to do it, call and response. Oh, yes, and the words are in your order of service, so you can also use those to guide you.
Next, we have the sky. The sky. What I love about the sky is how much it changes through the day, from bright to dark, from cloudy to windy to sunny and blue. And a whole day or a whole year, whole growing seasons involve many types of skies over time. I have a story for you, and I'm going to ask my friend Rose to come help me out with a little bit of improv. And any kids who want to stand up and follow along with her actions are welcome to, too. And adults, too, I suppose. So this is a song about drip, a tiny drop of water, and how drip transformed the sky and came to touch the land in a new way. You can come stand up, yeah. Okay. Once upon a time, there was a little drop of water who dreamed of becoming a snowflake and turning the landscape white. Years passed, and there was a great drought which evaporated the little drop from the lake where he lived. Evaporating up to the sky. You can copy along if you like. Okay. When he reached the sky, he became a part of a small cloud. Interpretive here. As soon as the weather turned cold, the little drop looked for a nice bit of countryside where she could fall and help cover the place in snow. I was looking. But only a little bit of snow fell, and as soon as it touched the ground, she melted. And there the little drop had to remain, waiting for the sun's rays to shine again and send her back up to the clouds. When the sun shone, the little drop ascended, evaporated into the sky once more, turning to snow again, and then down she fell again. But again, just after landing, she melted. This happened several times. Do you want to do it again? Several times. Here we go. Finally, the little drop went and joined a great big cloud where millions of other drops had crowded together. Want to come crowd together, little drops? Come crowd together. Come, come, come. Despite being gigantic, conditions in that cloud were rather uncomfortable. A few of the drops were ordering everyone else around and making them squash up together amid a big racket. They said, "Biggest drops at the bottom, smallest drops over here to the top. Come on, come on, there's no time to waste." Our little drop wasn't keen on all this busyness together and considered falling down to the earth again, but a nice friendly drop next to her managed to talk her out of it. "Well, where are you going? Don't you want it to come take part?" Seeing how surprised our little drop looked, the friendly drop explained they were preparing for a big snowfall. "All of us love being snow and covering the land for days. That's why we've all gathered here together. But years ago, I would try doing it on my own, but I learned I couldn't manage it without help. So I found this nice cloud where we're all helping each other a little bit. And thanks to our teamwork, we've made some of the best snowfalls ever." So a little later, all the drops were flying down through the sky as snowflakes. Surrounded by millions and millions of their friends and turning the green fields white. And with great joy, our little drop realized that when everyone worked together, they could achieve what at first seemed impossible. Okay, so you can go land, beautiful snowflakes. Go land. So there's a moral of the story here for the adults, too, that creating climate change, for better or for worse, is a team effort. We chose a song to sing with you. Some of you might already know it. There's a printout on white paper on your chairs. And it's about that blue sky feeling or that beautiful white fluffy snow feeling that you can cultivate inside you when you're full of love, sometimes no matter what the weather is doing outside. Nick is going to play the song twice, and I think many of us know this, so I'm hoping everyone will sing along both times. And if you don't know the song very well, I hope you'll join in the second time. So everyone can stand up as they're willing and able, and let's sing Blue Skies.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's such a mix. The panic about the earth and the dream about blue skies. This is part of wholeness, is holding it all. Before we move on to the sea, let us pause to take note of our Share the Plate recipient for this month, selected by our environmental action team. It's called SPEC, the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Did I get that right? Yes. As the oldest environmental nonprofit in Canada, SPEC empowers local communities in the Lower Mainland to build sustainable and resilient futures through education, research, and advocacy. Through its education and advocacy work, SPEC has built a lasting legacy of environmental protection. Some of their most important achievements include establishing the first recycling depots in BC, advocating for rapid transit such as the C-Bus, reducing the use of hazardous pesticides, lobbying for Provincial Land Commission Act to preserve BC farmland, helping stop proposed Vancouver Island nuclear power plants, and helping eliminate the use of DDT. The offering baskets will be passed, and as the offering baskets pass your row, I encourage you to just sit and take in everything that you've seen so far this morning. So we won't be doing candles today. To honor the gifts of the congregation, let us please be in a spirit of mindfulness. The gifts of the congregation will now be most gratefully received.
So, see, is there anyone here who likes to go to the beach or for a walk by the ocean? Raise your hands. Me. Is there anyone who finds being by the water can make them feel good inside? Me too. One of the reasons I moved to Victoria from Toronto was to be by the ocean again. Does anybody remember what country I'm from? No. Not Wales. Not America. Scotland. Yes, that's right. Scotland. And Scotland is not quite an island, but like here in Vancouver Island, you're never very far away from the sea. We're really lucky to live here, where the water is so clean and fresh. But it's not like that everywhere. There are some things harming our seas and oceans and the many animals that live in them. Can anybody tell me some of the things that are harming the oceans?
Plastic and fishing nets.
Plastic and fishing nets, yeah. The orca whales. Yeah, there's lots of different whales. Yep. Yep. Pollution. Yep. Oil tankers. Yep.
Bombs.
They probably would harm the ocean. Yep.
Gasoline cars.
Junk. Too much sun. Yeah, there's lots of things. One more. Carbon dioxide. So there's lots of different things harming our oceans. The one I want to, pardon? Okay. The one I want to talk about today is plastic pollution. The very first one I heard many people say at the same time. Do you know there is now 5.25 trillion pieces of plastic in the ocean? 5.25 trillion. It's hard to imagine what that looks like as the number is so big. One second.
That is more than the population of humanity and the richest it is more than all the people in the world. That is a good way to think about it. Well, plastic, one sec, Hayden. We'll come back. While plastic can be useful for lots of things, the problem is it's not biodegradable. So, can anybody tell me what biodegradable means? Yeah?
It takes forever to decompose.
That's okay, so yeah, so the opposite is biodegradable means it can break down and go back into the earth. And it not being biodegradable means it cannot do that. So, while plastic breaks into smaller and smaller pieces, it never goes away. So all the plastic we have ever made in the whole history of humanity still exists. So, what do you think are some good ways that we could help the earth by not using plastic? What could we use instead? Owen? Using paper straws, yes. Paper bags instead of plastic bags, yeah. Yeah, so paper bags are even better than paper bags. Yep. Reusable bags, yeah. Do you have one? Pardon? You could use net bags? Yep, yep. And reusable water bottles. Those are some great ideas. I'm sure everybody else has great ideas too. So I want everybody to high five the people next to you for having their great ideas. Let's protect the world and the ocean. High five. Awesome. So one group of children in the States, when they heard about all the bad things that were happening to the ocean, they made an art project. And I have a picture here to share with you. Oh, you can hold that one. Yeah. Oops. And I'll share this one with the kids. Look at this. Can anybody tell me what that is? It's a whale. But they made the whale from all the junk they found on their beach to raise awareness in their town. Isn't it beautiful? They made a humpback whale. This whale is 5 meters long. So then, once they did that, they decided this wasn't enough. It raised awareness in their local town, and they made some changes there. But they thought, this is not enough. So they organized the Children's Clean Ocean Summit at United Nations in Vienna. And they brought the giant whale with them. And they got hundreds of children from all different countries to come and help learn about it and to protest all the adults to let them know how serious this problem is and that things need to be done. So we can think about what we can do for our ocean. And maybe we can do something for Earth Day next week. But right now, Anna is going to share a story with us about a very specific ocean.
So this book is called The Specific Ocean. We'll figure this out in a second. Today we leave for summer vacation. I do not want to go. If anybody wants to practice their grumpy face to help me out here. I want to stay in the city with my friends. But Papa says, nope. We're leaving. At the airport, I drag my suitcase behind me. There will be nothing to do. On board, I feel the rumble of the plane, and then we climb up above the busy streets and the tiny rooftops. We climb through puffs of clouds, and the city is gone. We are staying in a boxy house on the Pacific Ocean. All we can see is water, a never-ending roll of gray, blue, white, dull, droning, dreary water. "What do you think?" asked my older brother. I shrug. Then I go and count the days until we go home. The next morning, my brother races down to the ocean. Mama nudges me to follow him, but I shake my head. "I know the water will be cold. Steal your breath away cold. I'd rather do nothing." And she has a moping schedule here. 9 to 10, watch dust. 10 to 10:30, play chess alone. 10:30 to 11, pull loose thread. This is very exciting. And 11 till 12, stare at the wall. And there's a diagram of the boring sea and the boring rock and the boring grass. We'll see if she has a change of heart. On the third day, I follow slowly, grumping down the path. The water is cold, even colder than I thought. But we wade in and swim fast. We swim along the rocks. We swim through spots of warmth. Here's a secret. I used to call it the specific ocean until my brother corrected me. But he doesn't know that a place can have two names, one that is correct and for saying out loud, and one that is private and for saying inside your head. When the sun comes out, we sit on the rocks and watch the waves shine, shimmer, gleam, glow. It makes me dizzy to imagine where the sea ends. The ocean is so big, and it makes every thought and worry I have shrink and scatter. But one thought stays. I want this ocean to be mine. Mama has a snowy mountain in Japan, and Papa has the South Downs in England. I want this ocean to be mine. I want to put it in a bowl and carry it home to the city. If I had my own ocean, I could let my thoughts swim free and dream of an underwater life. I want to put the potion in a bowl, but my brother, who does know some things, says that if I do, the ocean will be less. He says the ocean may be big, but it isn't endless. I try to imagine the earth with no ocean. Would the coasts bump together? The bright coral reefs drain of color? The large yellow moon lose its mirror. My brother, who sometimes surprises me, says there is still so much we do not know about the ocean. The ocean is a mystery of mysteries. Because when I go home, back to the city and my friends, it will all still be there, deep down inside of me, calm, blue, ruffled, gray, playful, green, mysterious, black, foggy, silver, roaring, white. No matter where I am, this specific ocean will be with me.